You know, that rhymes with catfish. Welcome back. Hour number two, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo until 7 o'clock. We have game two of the Stanley Cup Final. The catfish guy charges dropped against him, in case you were still wondering, and that'll be the last time we mention it, we promise. And imagine that, one of the greatest poets in Canada, and we're turning him into a catfish story. By the way, if you missed the farewell concert, maybe one or two Canadians did.
Yeah, it will be rebroadcast on CBC on Saint Jean-Baptiste, so June 24th.
That's Rod Francis over there. Pierre Maguire on site in Pittsburgh prior to Game 2 tonight in about an hour. You know, it wasn't that long ago where it looked like it actually might be those Ottawa Senators.
Tourists to the outside, let it on back. Carlson there, fires, drag it off the pipe, scramble, they score! It's the single, and the game is tied!
What a sequence for Kyle Tourist. Breathing deep on the bench right now, and Erik Karlsson, the superstar that he is, gets it to the net, and Dzingel jumps on it.
What a moment late in Game 7 in Pittsburgh. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show. He's the associate coach of the Ottawa Senators. Mark Crawford, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I've come down from the euphoria of being in the Stanley Cup playoffs and planted my garden today, so I guess that really means we're in summer.
Oh, that's it. It's official. Yeah, it's official. And Mark, of so many of us who were watching what went down in Game 7 in Pittsburgh, as the teams left the ice for overtime, you could clearly be seen on camera with a smile on your face. You were pumping your fist. You were slapping the guys because the Senators' success in overtime, I think, speaks for itself this spring. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better scenario, huh?
No, exactly. We wanted to make a game of it. I know Guy had talked about making sure we came out of the first period with a game still in the balance. We accomplished that. Obviously, when you get to overtime, it can be anybody's game. You have to give the Penguins credit. They played probably their best hockey, I thought, in the overtime period, at least the first overtime. And we really, at that point, needed a break. But I liked our chances going into overtime. I thought we would really maybe put a lot of pressure on them, and they might feel the pressure, but they didn't. And unfortunately, we didn't get the break maybe that we needed. We needed maybe a bouncing puck or maybe a penalty to be called where a power play might be able to get us a goal. But in the end, you know, it still was a marvelous run, a lot of fun for our players. It was a lot of fun to be involved on the sidelines as well.
How well did you know Guy Boucher before you hooked up together this season?
Well, we knew each other quite well from coaching in Switzerland against each other. There's only 12 teams in the Swiss League, and Bern is one of our rivals. So we played them not only in exhibition, we'd play them, you know, four or five times during the regular season. And so we always had a chance to talk in those outings. And actually, when Guy came over to view Switzerland to see what the possibilities were there, he actually came and visited myself and Rob Cookson and talked to us about what the possibilities were in Swiss ice hockey. So we helped him there at the during the course of his time there. We got to talk a little bit, and I had made it known to him that if he ever got a job, like, to consider me, because you know that was something that I my age was considering doing. I make no bones about it. I mean, I'd still like to be a head coach in the National Hockey League. But, you know, being an assistant was great, and working with and for Guy was real good. He's a very inclusive guy, and I thought he did a just incredible job with our team this year. He was the right guy for the job. We instituted a system that really our players got, and they got very quickly.
With Mark Crawford on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, Pierre Maguire on this show last week.
Well, I give Guy a lot of credit for having the courage, because a lot of coaches wouldn't hire a former head coach that's won the Stanley Cup as an assistant. But he did it. He had the courage to do it. I respect him a lot for doing that.
Do you think there are people around the league who may be looking at Mark Crawford down the road?
Yeah, for sure. I know
as a head coach?
I don't think.
Yep.
I had a manager call me and ask for a character reference on Mark Crawford. So I would say yes. The answer is yes.
I'm just curious, since that conversation took place on the air, have you heard that?
Well, I've heard it, but I have nothing to report.
All right. So What about, you mentioned the system. You know the feeling around the hockey world when they point to that system. And look, it started long before the playoff run of 2017. Patrick Roy in Quebec infamously said he's going to kill hockey doing this. What do you say to those who are full of admiration for Guy Boucher getting the most out of his teams and how successful he's been at every level, but in terms of the entertainment value, it's a whole other story?
Well, I think a lot of people really aren't educated as to just how much he changed his system from, say, 3 or 4 years ago to where he is today. I think the influence of being in Europe was huge for him. We play a certain way in the neutral zone, and I think in order to be a good team in the National Hockey League, you have to have structure, especially in the neutral zone, because that's where you can keep more talented teams in check a little bit more. So you've got to do a great job of taking away speed. You make it difficult to get through the neutral zone, then they can't be as dangerous as they're heading into the offensive zone. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're a very aggressive offensive team. And, you know, you saw at times that we were very good offensively. And I think, you know, our team is what it is. You have to play the strengths of your team. And our strengths, when you really break it down, we had a very physical left side defense, you know, with Mark Mathot and Dion Phaneuf, Mark Borowiecki, who led the league in hits this year. The system was tailor-made for these guys. You know, we stand up on that side. We really force on that side, and teams really have to be cautious when they play us. So I don't think it's a boring system. I think it's a system that's very well suited to our club. Guy really is a guy that stretches the limits on the offensive side of it. Like, he wants our team to vacate the zone, to really have a slashing offense, to have a stretching offense. And to me, that's the exciting part of the game, when you can see people make 200-foot passes or at least 150-foot passes and break people open. That's where it comes. We've got very good defensive habits and defensive structure, but we by no means try to stifle our offense. Our offense is improving, and I think it'll keep getting better as we keep adding more talented people on the offensive side of it.
Mark Crawford, associate coach of the Ottawa Senators, on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo. Aaron Ward in about 20 minutes. And a reminder, we have the game if you're not in front of your television. TSN 690 has the feed with Kenny Albert, Joe Micheletti, and Ray Ferraro. Rod?
Hey there, Mark. The art of assembling a coaching staff, you've been on both ends of it, obviously. From the outside, we kind of look at it and say, okay, it makes sense if you have one assistant coach who's kind of be the conduit, the friend to the players, and serve as a bit of a bridge between the coach and the players, and then maybe another assistant could be like the tactics guy. Is it as simple as that? I'd imagine it can be a bit more complicated when you're assembling a staff where you can always feed off each other's strengths.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, if you have someone who's very strong in a certain area, and, you know, if he has some shortcomings in another one, then obviously you want corresponding strengths, I guess a better way of putting it would be the additional strengths from your other people. But I really believe the best people are very well-versed. Like, I don't think that, you know, anybody on our staff can be pigeonholed as one guy's a great communicator and the other guy's only tactical. I think they all have strengths. When you have strengths on a staff, then you utilize it all. It really comes down to the style that the head coach employs. If the head coach is inclusive, as Guy Boucher is, then you're going to get a lot of input from people. And the head coach's job is to decipher all the input that he gets and take what he needs, take what he likes, and at the same time, he's got to have some real conviction in what he thinks, because I think if you're wishy-washy and you're changing your mind all the time, the players read that even more. We had a real good staff. Marty Ramon is a guy that knows Guy really well. I think Guy trusts him almost with his life. I really believe he needs that in his staff. They spend countless hours speaking. Rob Cookson and myself knew each other really well. He got a chance to work with Rob Cookson at the Spangler Cup, so he realized the strengths that he was giving. And Pierre Grew, you guys know him from his time in Montreal. He did a remarkable job this year with Craig Anderson and Mike Condon. And, you know, I think the fact that he was able to do such a strong job with our goaltenders, because Craig needed help, you know, especially when he was taking so much time off. And Pierre worked tirelessly. He spent, you know, a lot of off days traveling down to where Craig's wife was getting treatment, and they rented ice, and he did a lot just to make sure that Craig was able to stay in shape and stay sharp so that he could take as much time as he needed off. And again, the work that he did with Mike Condon, I thought, was just brilliant. So, you know, a lot of the credit for our success this year has to go to our goaltending, and Pierre did a remarkable job for us this year. He's really matured as a goalie coach, and you know, I think he did a great job of putting everybody together in a staff. You know, we've got a little bit of experience, certainly, but we've also got enthusiasm, and I think that's probably the main thing that you need. When you have enthusiasm, certainly players read that, and we had a very enthusiastic year, and now we got to find a way next year to be even more enthusiastic.
A couple more minutes with Mark Crawford on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo.
Well, Mark, you've coached some of the great leaders in hockey in your career: Sakic, Forsberg, Richards, Naslund. Watching Erik Karlsson for the first year up close, how does he stack up against those guys?
He's going to be every bit as good as anybody I've ever had, and that includes Messier, and that includes Joe Sakic. I thought we had a real growth year from Erik Karlsson this year. He is as talented a player as I've ever had. I think if you it's hard to make this comparison, but I'm going to make it anyways. I mean, to me, he has as close to the talent of Bobby Orr on the ice as anybody as I've ever seen. His speed is phenomenal. His ability to use his deception and his change of speed and so many offensive talents, including his vision, is outstanding. The difference, obviously, Bobby Orr had that great team chemistry sort of thing. He was as popular a person to this day. I mean, I was just in awe. He was around our team at a couple of games in the Boston series, and our players were everybody was getting a stick for him to sign. It was really neat to see. But I think Erik is going to be a great leader. You forget he's 25, 26 years old. He's just really a baby in terms of really understanding what it means to be the leader of the team, and I thought he took huge steps this year. I really believe Dion Phaneuf helped him a great deal, because Dion had been through a lot of what he's going through in Toronto. I thought he helped him a great deal. And again, I think Erik is a guy that, in terms of a leader, he's going to be one of the really, really good ones. I was really impressed with him all year.
Bobby Orr, huh, Mark? I'm older than you. I take no offense to that. The only thing I'll add to it, because you mentioned Bobby Orr was as tough as any player in hockey back
and
in the day.
Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson is one tough kid. He's not afraid of anybody on the ice. He battles people tooth and nail. He fights his own battles like Bobby Orr did. And, you know, he just doesn't have the social standing, the great teammate status that Bobby Orr has. And I'm hopeful that one day he gets to be close to that, because, I mean, Bobby Orr, to this day, you see him, he is just amazing and so in awe when I do see him.
All right. The Canadians beat you guys three times in about a week to basically take the division, and a lot of hockey fans, as you know, in this city thought, okay, so much for the Ottawa Senators, let's worry about the Rangers, etc. What in the immediate aftermath of the third loss, what was the mindset of the group that you're part of? How did you end up back from that?
Yeah, we knew that they had played, you know, really well, and it seemed like they were really very comfortable with how they had to play against us. And a lot of teams never got to that point with us. So, you know, I give them full credit. I mean, they're a talented group. You know, at that time, people like Byron and Gallagher and Plekanec were really coming into their own. They had such a great end of the season for the Canadians. They gave us a handful. I know we did a pretty decent job of, I thought, in a lot of those games, stopping Radulov and stopping Pacioretty. But, you know, it's like any team. If you stop one group, then you've got to make sure that you stop the secondary guys and the depth of their scoring. And that's where they beat us. They had really good depth in those games and used it to a very high degree. Their power play was great when they played against us, too. I thought that, you know, that was a part of the game that they certainly won. And, again, when you've got good special teams, it oftentimes doesn't win or lose you the games, but it certainly takes away the element of a team not playing well to beat you.
All right, and a final one for Mark Crawford. Game two tonight right here on TSN 690. How do you see this with Pittsburgh basically stealing one out of their own building? How do you see the rest of this final developing?
Well, I think the Predators are very much like the Senators in that they have two defense pairs that they're very, very comfortable playing against top lines. So, you know, why we were good against the Penguins is because we have two good defenseman pairs. So we could play Mathot and Carlson against anybody. We could play Phaneuf and Ceci against anyone. And they usually kept us in the game. So, you know, you like your chances when you're keeping people away from having to outscore them. And so I think that's the same thing with the Predators right now. Those top two defense pairs are perfectly suited to play against, you know, the Crosby line, whoever they have, and the Malkin line. So, you know, I like the Predators' chance. I don't know if they have enough offense to win the series because of their injuries, losing Johansson, such a big, big part of their team. But, you know, hey, they've surprised everybody so far. They played a marvelous game in Game 1. I look for this to be a game, certainly, where the Penguins will play better because I think the Predators have got the Penguins' attention, and that's usually when you get the Penguins' best efforts.
Reminding our listeners once again why he spent so much time in a TSN studio as an analyst with the Quizmaster himself. Great to see you back behind the bench in the NHL, Mark. Thanks an awful lot for joining us today. All the best this summer.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be back.
Mark Crawford.
You just hit me where I live. I guess it looked quite primitive. What was that supposed to prove? Throw the cat bar, he'll throw you. Do I want to on that job? Do I want to twist my...
One of the things we haven't mentioned since we have become not all things hip, but, you know, a good chunk of the show is hip-related with Rod's love of the Tragically Hip especially, is they are hooking up with a marijuana company.
That's true. And in fact, the company has its IPO, its initial public offering on the stock market, I believe today. So it'll be a company listed on the Venture Exchange out of Toronto. New Strike Resources is its official name. But ahead of the curve, and you're going to see hip song and album branded marijuana.
Why did you say the word marijuana so, like, at a lower level? Like it's a secret or something, or it's like, I shouldn't say this, but you know the law is changing. You know that, right?
July 1st, 2018.
You probably have stock in the company already, don't you? Aaron Ward will join us in a few minutes. We also have a $100 certificate up for grabs. Bon c'est bon. Make sure you eat well. You don't have much time to take care of yourself properly on the food front, Rod. But if you go to bonc'estbon.com, you fill out your menu, and they'll have all those delicious items delivered to your door. $100 up for grabs next on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by the 20. 20-